Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
This is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. We'll be live December 19th, so a month from today. We'll be there live for our Christmas spectacular, and I would love for you to join us and see us. We'll all be there, actually. It'll be great. And come out at to the Grand Hotel. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll have a wonderful time, and we'll enjoy your company with ours. We're going to talk to Gerald Posner a little bit later this hour. As we continue, but I wanted to kind of go back to the Epstein stuff for a little bit, because there's a lot with the Democrats that we have to realize here. And one of them is Hakeem Jeffries, who is a total scumbag. More so than anything, this guy is so low energy and so bad at what he does. And it's amazing to me that he's still the minority leader, because he's really dumb. But then again, you're dealing with a lot of dumb people. A lot of dumb people who are in the Democrat Party who've elected this guy. He has no charisma. He's not bright. In fact, he's still calling it the Donald Trump cover-up of the Epstein files, when Donald Trump has said that he wanted them released. All the Republicans voted for it, except one who had very, very good reasons for not doing so, because he was concerned about the people who were in those files. And then you're talking about a president who's now going to sign the release of this into law. And that's where we are. So CNN's Caitlin Collins put Hakeem Jeffries in the hot seat about Epstein for over 2 minutes on national television. I want to remind you, I said earlier in the show today, it is amazing how Republicans have allowed this issue to go on for so long, and then how badly they botched even the passing of the bill yesterday, and then trying to blame the Senate for not working out what the House did not fix before they sent it over to the Senate. But for the moment, let's talk about Hakeem Jeffries and just how bad this guy is at what he does. So here's where she started with Stacey Plaskett. And again, Stacey Plaskett, who was texting with Epstein and talking with Epstein 11 years after he pleaded guilty for underage solicitation. And she was still getting strategy from him on how to bring down Donald Trump. She tries to chalk it up, and Jamie Raskin tries to chalk it up as, oh, she's just talking to a constituent. That's all she's doing. Stop, please. The money, the Epstein money, and the strategy was all around the Democrats. You got to understand this now. It was all around the Democrats. Donald Trump cut ties with the guy, and then the Democrats went to Epstein and said, how can we get rid of Trump? It's as simple as that. Bottom line. And they didn't care if the guy was a pederast. They didn't care about any of that stuff. All they wanted to do was find a way to bring down Trump, even if they worked with a guy who pled guilty, all right, to doing something that is so hideous that you should say, we'll stay far away from this guy. But they still took his money, took his strategy, took his company, took his time, and all that happened. So here we go, cut number 8.
Do you think it was appropriate for her to be texting with Jeffrey Epstein 11 years after he pleaded guilty?
I have not had a conversation with Stacey Plaskett to discuss this issue because we've been focused today on making sure that there was a decisive vote as it related to the Epstein files and the release. I'm thankful for the work of Representative Massey, of Ro Khanna, but most importantly, the survivors.
Do you plan to talk to her about it?
I think that we successfully defeated a resolution that lacked any basis, was not credible, and was being brought by an individual who was trying to weaponize this issue to reinvigorate his own failed gubernatorial campaign in South Carolina. It was rejected on a bipartisan basis on the floor today. That's the end of the story.
Yeah, I was just asking if you personally believe messaging with Jeffrey Epstein, who is at that point a registered sex offender, is appropriate for a member of the House Democratic Caucus.
That's the third time you've asked me this question, and I'm going to give you the same exact answer. Our focus today is on making sure that the Jeffrey
answer
Epstein
the question.
Files were released. If you want to have a conversation with Stacey Plaskett about it, I'm sure she'd be willing to talk to you. It was an illegitimate effort to try to remove her from the House Committee on Intelligence, and that was defeated in a bipartisan way.
Well, let me ask you about you, because the White House has been highlighting an email that I'm sure you've seen today that Jeffrey Epstein got in 2013. They say it shows you were soliciting money and dinner from an Epstein. The email was not sent from you. It was sent from a political consulting firm called Dynamic SRG that says, "We are thrilled to announce we are working with Congressman Hakeem Jeffries. Shoot us an email or give us a call if you would like to get involved." What's your response? Do you recall that email being sent to Jeffrey Epstein from that team?
Yeah, of course, I have no recollection of the email. I've never had a conversation with him, never met him, know nothing about him other than the extreme things that he's been convicted of doing. And that's why, you know, I'm just strongly supportive of the effort, backing the survivors to make sure that everything can come out, whatever is in those Department of Justice files.
So you never got a donation from Jeffrey Epstein or anything like that?
Certainly not.
He's so bad at this. He really is. He's so bad at this, Hakeem Jeffries. He wouldn't answer the question. Do you think it's appropriate or not? She's texting with the guy, but he doesn't care because they were using Epstein to try to get a Trump, so they don't care. I mean, that's the bottom line. Now, you know, I got an email before that said, let's see if I can share this with you. See, I try to check my emails during the show. I try to check all the comments during the show. It's just hard sometimes with everything going on. This show, things come at you a million miles an hour, as you know. but essentially now, let the full Epstein-Maxwell scandal exposure move forward. Now, no more slow-walking, foot-dragging, shallow excuses anymore, and expose the Epstein money man. I agree. I think the problem, though, is that it's now going to go to the DOJ. The DOJ is going to have to review all these files. There's going to come back with a ton of redactions, a ton of blacked out names, a ton of pages that are essentially still classified. And it's just going to lead to more frustration. The House could have done that part and saved the president from that and the embarrassment that's going to come with that, the inevitable Democrat talking points when that happens, which needs to happen for many people who were not doing anything nefarious with Jeffrey Epstein. But instead of them doing it and spending all the time these past months taking care of that, they didn't. And so now it's going to fall back on the DOJ, which ultimately is the White House, which ultimately is the president. And that is the problem here. And that is the flaw in all this that people are not recognizing in the zeal to see these files released, is that the next step is the DOJ has to go through them and begin the process of redacting and everything else and then turn it around in a month. And that's just the reality. And so what you're going to have is you're going to have the Democrats again turning around and say, "Oh, my God, look at this. Look at this. Look at this. This cover up. Look at this. More cover up. More cover up." And instead of Congress taking the blame for that, they've now pushed it off to the administration to take the blame for that. And again, if I spent a lot of time on this earlier in the show, but I know people can come in and out. It's a 4-hour show. Today's only 3 hours, thank God, because of Penn State. But and you may not have heard a lot of what I said earlier, but Speaker Johnson is angry that the Senate didn't make changes to the bill that passed the House with all but one vote. And the Speaker could have done everything he wanted to make sure that the bill was right before sending it to the Senate, but he didn't. And So he's caught off guard because he says John Thune didn't do what he needed to be done to address the concerns that are valid concerns. But, hey, Mike, not for nothing, you're the speaker. You could have done this in the House, and he didn't. And I don't understand this for a million years. I will not understand this. This is political malpractice, if you ask me. And they're setting up President Trump to take the fall for this again when the inevitable redactions come from the DOJ. So here's what Johnson said, cut number five.
Any reaction to Leader Thune seeing the bill without adding amendments or changing it?
I'm deeply disappointed in this outcome. I think I've been at the state dinner. I don't know. I was just told that Chuck Schumer rushed it to the floor and put it out there preemptively. It needed amendments. I just spoke to the president about that. We'll see what happens.
So do you think he may veto it? You say you spoke to the president?
I'm not saying that.
Is he supportive of it in its current form?
We both have concerns about it, so we'll see. I was standing there with the Crown Prince.
Are you frustrated in the majority leader? Are you upset with the majority leader?
Why didn't you do the amendments, Mr. Speaker? Why didn't you do the amendments? Why? I mean, you're the Speaker of the House. You're the most powerful guy in Washington besides the president. Way more powerful than John Thune is, by the way, as a Speaker of the House. You got more control, more power, more everything. Why didn't you do it? Please. And there's a reason why the Speaker is the number two person in the line of succession of the presidency. There's a reason for that. It's not the majority leader in the Senate. It's the Speaker of the House. Vice President, then the Speaker. So, you know, for the life of me, I don't understand how this guy can claim that this is a mess up on the Senate and not on him. And mark my words, in a month from now, when we're at the Grand Hotel and we're talking about this, we will be sharing clips of the media beating up the president for the inevitable redactions from the DOJ. Mark my words. Now, the good news is that Chairman Comer said that what they're finding now is that Hakeem Jeffries, for example, and his campaign solicited money from Jeffrey Epstein. And I'm not surprised by that in the least. This is Comer, cut number 11. Take a listen.
Colleagues' coordination with Epstein. Another email shows Democrat fundraisers invited Epstein to an event or to meet privately with Hakeem Jeffries as part of their 2013 effort to win a majority. So Hakeem Jeffries' campaign solicited money from Jeffrey Epstein. That's what we found in the last document batch. The files underscore why former President Trump must appear for his deposition. We've subpoenaed him. To date, the Democrats have done nothing to help us secure his appearance. I support full transparency. The Oversight Committee will continue to work to get the truth to the American people and to get justice for the victims. That's our goal of this investigation. With that, I yield back.
The gentleman yields back.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker.
Well, let's get more of that out there, no doubt about it.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
You know how I can't stand Brandon Carr, the FCC chairman? I can't stand him. I think he's one of the absolute worst. I wish the guy would resign. What a disappointment this guy's been to conservatives. Well, today, even though I'm here at Fox News, I can share this story with you. Chris Ruddy, the CEO of Newsmax, went on his own network to talk about what Brandon Carr has up his sleeve and how it's going to hurt conservative media groups. So let me share this with you. Newsmax CEO Christopher Ruddy took to his network's airwaves on Tuesday night to warn that the FCC under Brendan Carr is moving forward to give the big TV networks massive reach and pushing through a mega merger of the anti-Trump Nexstar group. Current federal law limits any station, group, or network such as ABC, CBS, and NBC from reaching more than 39% of U.S. households. The limit is part of the TV ownership cap President Ronald Reagan first established to block big networks from owning every local station in the country and controlling their local news. He said Reagan understood if you have left-wing networks like ABC, NBC, and CBS, or groups like Nexstar Today controlling every local station and their local news, Republicans would have little chance to win in state and federal elections. He said that if Carr's plans had been put into place 10 years ago, he doubted Donald Trump would have ever won the presidency or that the GOP would control Congress today. On Monday, Vanderbilt Law School professor Brian T. Fitzpatrick, a respected conservative legal scholar and former law clerk to the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, filed an ex parte brief before the FCC stating any plan by the commission to change ownership rules without approval of Congress would be a clear violation of federal law. Also made clear that the FCC's efforts to allow networks to bypass the statutory cap using sidecar deals or redefinitions are likewise violations of the law. Also this week, Nexstar officially filed with the FCC for approval of its $6.2 billion merger with Tegna. If approved, the deal will create the largest TV station group in the nation, owning 245 stations across 44 states and reaching more than 80% of U.S. households, well beyond the 39% limit. Now, I have no problem with getting rid of this limit. I think any government control over TV and radio is bad. So I think the ownership limit needs to be changed. However, the FCC should not be the one changing it. Congress should, and Congress should change it because it is a regulation that has long since been unnecessary. And this is where I disagree with Newsmax. I'm fine with stations reaching 80% of U.S. households or 100% of U.S. households. I have no problem with that. I want them to be able to reach everybody. I have zero problem with that. The problem that I have is the FCC doing it right now and doing it in a way that once again is saying to these groups out there, hey, not for nothing, but you know, nice merger you have. Let's make sure it goes through. And, you know, make sure that you're doing all the things we like. I don't like that either. If it were up to me, I'd abolish the FCC. I would get rid of it completely. You do not need it. It is an antiquated agency. There is absolutely zero reason. You let the marketplace decide, period. Stations can have standards. Like on this station, for example, you would have standards. And if those standards are not met, well, then I'd lose my job. That's the way it should work in the private sector, in the private marketplace. And the FCC already does not control Sirius XM satellite radio. The FCC does not control cable. The FCC does not control the internet. But Brandon Carr wants to. And what he's doing here is, again, he is expanding the power of his agency now under the guise of deregulation. But it's not. because, again, this is something that Congress needs to do, not the FCC. If you're going to change an ownership rule, have Congress debate it, explain the merits, have the people that believe in less government control over TV and radio make their case, and then vote on it, and then have the president sign the bill into law. That's the way it's supposed to work. I don't know. I wasn't around in the 1980s when Reagan signed this law. I can't speak to it. I'm not an expert on it. All I know is that it's not the 1980s anymore, and there's zero reason why any TV network or radio network or group should not be able to reach 100% of U.S. households in America. But what we're talking about here again is we're talking about the FCC having the power to control this stuff, and with a guy who we know is very happy to use the cudgel of government to try to coerce them into, you know, I don't like that. I don't like that one bit. I really do not like that one bit. And this other idea, and I'm fine, by the way, with the Nexstar deal moving forward. I have no problem with that because I don't like when the government stops mergers. I think the government stopping mergers is a bad thing. I want deregulation all around the board. But you have another problem here, and that is that you've got the FCC under Trump would be working to break federal rules to help Nexstar, a group that strongly opposed Trump. 78% of Nexstar employees donated to Kamala Harris, with the remaining amount going to Trump in the last election. It's a very liberal company, he says. But this is the problem when you have the government in the business of being able to say, we can lift caps, we can approve mergers, we can do these things, we can do all these things by using more government. And that's exactly what's happening right now. Congress alone should handle it and not allow these big networks to get more power. Congress should handle it. I believe Congress should let these networks do whatever Congress wants them to do. I think it's time to get the government out of regulation when it comes to TV and radio and the FCC. There's no need for it anymore. Get rid of it completely. Just shut it down. Doge it away. Doge it goodbye. Because I don't like threats being made against journalists or TV stations. I don't like the threats of licenses being pulled. All that crap's going to come back to bite us one day. I've told you this a million times. I'll say it a million times more if I have to. There will come a time when whatever weaponization this guy does at the FCC will come back to bite us. And you know the FCC would love at some point in the future to be able to control everything over the guys that it's now. While the airwaves have changed, it's not just TV and radio anymore. It's now all these other platforms. They want to get their hooks into the internet. They want to get their hooks into podcasters. They want to get their hooks into people like Rogan and all these other. They want to be able to regulate them. The left would love this. You notice how there's no objection from the left regarding really anything the FCC does. I mean, they were upset that the president went after Jimmy Kimmel. They were upset that Jimmy Kimmel was taken off by his network. But they never criticized the FCC. You know who was criticizing the FCC? Ted Cruz, me, other people like that. We were the ones who were going after the real problem in the room, which is the Federal Communications Commission. Not them. They weren't. You know why? Because they love the idea of the government having more power to be able to police content because it's misinformation. You know, what Megyn Kelly's saying, or it might be hate speech, what Megyn Kelly's saying, or it might be disinformation, what Joe Rogan's saying when he sits down with some, in their mind, quack doctor who talks about how you just need more vitamin D and not a COVID vaccine. This is the way the left thinks. The left thinks we need more government, not less, and the left thinks that we need to have more regulatory bodies overseeing speech and content. And what I cannot for the life of me understand is how in the entire conversation that we've had, and I've been consistent on this, and you know this, I don't like, and I've said this before, and I wish the president would stop threatening to take away TV licenses. I wish he would stop doing it. Just stop doing it. The answer is more licenses, not less. The answer is not to have the government take it away. The answer is for the government to give more out. That's the answer. Give more TV licenses out. Give more radio licenses out. Don't allow the government to control a monopoly on this. And get rid of these ownership rules. They're stupid. They're antiquated. They don't exist. They don't belong anywhere. But that's something that the government needs to do, not the FCC. I mean, and it's another example, again, of how this regulatory body, which was created by Franklin Delano Roosevelt at a time when we had, what, three TV stations and we had like a handful of radio stations. And it's long gone. It's at this point now, it is beyond a dinosaur. beyond a dinosaur. And the reason why I keep saying to the president and to anybody who will listen, please stop with the threats, is because I'm looking out for him. It is not a good idea when you consider how this guy was censored and shut down, and they tried to deplatform him from every site, and the government was using their power as a cudgel to get these big tech companies to go along with it. And a lot of these media companies now are owned by corporations, and then the government uses the power that it has with these corporations now to leverage them as well. And I can't stand that either. I don't like it. And at one point in the future, if a Democrat FCC chairman is allowed to have this much power, then they will propose to a Congress, a Democrat-controlled Congress, that what they need to do now is expand the FCC to be able to have regulatory power over the internet. Shows on the internet, and the vast majority of them now exist literally on that platform with millions of people that watch them and follow them. I just read a story today how, let's see if I can find it here. It was actually Dr. Maz who sent it to me earlier today. And I'll take a quick break. All right, I'll take a quick break. But let me just say, the story is all about how Netflix and Fox, where I am today, are getting more into the podcast area. More deals in podcasting, more deals with streaming shows over this. It's the future. Cable and radio are not the future. That's why we spend so much time here getting you to watch on YouTube or listen on the app or download the podcast. We get it, and we want to meet you where you are. I understand that point. But do not think for a second that Democrats in control are not going to try to expand the FCC's power to be able to meet that where it is, because you know damn well for sure that they absolutely will. All right, listen, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, we'll be there live for our next show December 19th. And Christmas around Cape May is absolutely beautiful. They go all out for Christmas. Trolley rides and house tours, and everything is decorated. Beautiful sales going on at the outdoor mall. And the Grand Hotel is your destination. With that indoor heated saltwater pool, it is a great place to take the kids. You can escape for a weekend getaway with your friends. You can do an indoor, you can do a week long vacation there, and you'll have resort credits and you'll have discounts. You'll be able to take advantage of Hemingway's restaurant, beautiful restaurant, great food, great drinks, great people that work there. And you'll have Cape May basically all to yourself at the best time of year to go, when they go all out for Christmas and all out for the holidays. So make your vacation plans now for the winter getaway at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, by going to grandhotelcapemay.com. And mark your calendar for December 19th for our next live show. We'll be there. I want to see you there. You don't need a reservation. You don't need to sign up. Just come by the show and see us. We'd love to see you. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
The 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zeoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
Oh, this is good. Gerald Posner. It's been a minute. Best-selling author, of course, Posner, GeraldPosner.com, and you can follow him on X at Gerald Posner, award-winning investigative journalist, and my guest now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHG. How are you, my friend?
Good, Rich. As a matter of fact, I love that Creedence Clearwater lead-in. You know, it's a flashback for me to my San Francisco growing up days and UC Berkeley days.
Well, if you'd like that to be your walk-up music from now on, we can make that happen.
That should be it. All right. I'm good with that.
Our mutual friend Mike Opelka texted me yesterday and said, you got to get Posner on about Saudi Arabia. And I said, great, let's do it. Let's talk about it. So you have written about just about everything. Have you written about Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I did a book about them in 2005 called Secrets of the Kingdom, about the U.S.-Saudi relationship. That book essentially got me banned from the kingdom. But the kingdom has changed since then. MBS was not yet a player. I wrote a book before that called, you know, Why America Slept About 9/11, in which I raised questions about whether some three Saudi princes lower on the totem pole might have had some advanced knowledge about the attack on America. So I've been a thorn in the side occasionally for the Saudis over the years.
In the book that you wrote, the about 9/11, you know, obviously to this day right now, there's a lot of questions about 9/11. The Crown Prince said the other day that bin Laden used Saudis because he wanted to drive a wedge between the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and the United States. Do you think that could be a thing?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, you sit around on damage control sometimes and you try to come up with a good answer as to what are you going to say when somebody brings this up? That's one of the more creative ones I've ever heard. I've never heard that one before. So the Crown Prince definitely had an interesting answer. There's no doubt that bin Laden disliked the Saudi royals. He wanted to overthrow them. He almost disliked them as much as he disliked the United States. He thought that they had bastardized the Islam that he believed in. They were responsible for the Holy Land, the holy city of Mecca, and they weren't doing the right job. So he would have gladly seen them thrown out of power. But he didn't go out of his way to select 18 of 19 hijackers as Saudis so that he could embarrass the royal family. He selected those 18 because they were the willing terrorists. They were the ones willing to commit their lives. They were the ones willing to fly a jumbo jet into a building and knowing that it was a suicide mission. If he had to pick 18 people from Sudan or he had to pick 18 people from Afghanistan, he would have done that. He put together the terror squad that made the most sense with the most reputable sort of actors in it that could have carried it out, and they turned out to be Saudi.
Gerald Posner, do you think that there is a legitimate reason to believe that the Saudi government, the kingdom, the royal family would have been behind 9/11, would have been working with him on this?
No, I never thought it was the government itself. Look, what I do think, based upon an interrogation that I wrote about of a captured al-Qaeda suspect who's still down in Guantanamo, one of the highest-ranking guys, Abu Zubaydah, the CIA have destroyed the interrogation tapes of him. I believe there was a false flag in which he was made to believe he was in Saudi hands. And he then gave them the cell phone numbers of three Saudi princes, one of whom owned a large media empire and the other two lower ranking, and also the private cell phone number of the head of Pakistan's Air Force. And he said, they will tell you what to do to the people who are holding him after 9/11. When we went back and talked to the Saudis and Pakistanis, look, I'm not a big believer in conspiracies. You know that. I think Lee Harvey Oswald killed Kennedy, yet these four people all died within a couple of months of each other. One of them of complications after normal surgery. A 42-year-old prince dies in a single car accident the next day on the way to the funeral of the first one. Another one dies, you'll love this one, Rich, of thirst. I'm not kidding you. That's what the palace in Riyadh put out as the cause of death of the 25-year-old prince of thirst, 55 miles outside of Riyadh. He didn't bring enough water with him. And the head of Pakistan's Air Force takes off in a military jet and blows up. So I'm suspicious about what a number of people might have known who may have provided money to bin Laden. They gave money to him so that he would not bring jihad back to the kingdom. They wanted him to play jihad in other countries. He was doing that in Afghanistan and other places. But I don't think they had any idea that he was going to pull off that attack on 9/11 to the degree to which he did, because if the government knew it, the Saudis, they would have made him stop, or they would have warned the U.S. They would have realized it would wake up the slumbering giant, and that's what it did with the U.S.
So, General Pazer, as the president now is looking to forge this new relationship with, or I say expanded relationship with the Crown Prince and Saudi Arabia, and they're talking about a $1 trillion investment in the United States. Now, I would think it's a good thing. I would think that anytime you can have a country that could very easily be an adversary, be a friend, it's better for peace, it's better for prosperity for all, and it also helps with buttressing Iran. So, I mean, I think it's a good thing. Should we be concerned about it?
No, look, I mean, there are wins all the way around on this. You're absolutely right. Saudis are a big counterweight to Iran. They've been there the entire time as one of the Sunni powerhouses. They're against the Shia Ayatollahs, who have been causing all types of destabilized actions. They may join the Abraham Accords at some point. They're dangling up to $1 trillion in investments in front of the United States. They're buying F-35 jets. They've been given the green light. They're the first Arab nation ever to get that quality of military equipment from the U.S. And they are also one of the powers that will be pushing Hamas to demilitarize and get rid of their arms at some point. They play a big factor in that. So all across the board, I understand the importance of this relationship. The question that you have to have is, from the perspective of MBS, the Crown Prince, this is a win-win because he's aligning himself very closely with the U.S. He may get a security agreement from the United States of the Trump administration, like the UAE has, which says, oh, by the way, if we get attacked by another nation, a rogue nation, or somebody like Iran, you'll come to defend us, sort of like a NATO for the Middle East. And in addition, for offering up to $1 trillion in investments, he gets a get-out-of-jail-free card. And what I mean by that is all of the suspicions, the condemnations from the United Nations, the U.S. security intelligence agencies under the Biden administration that said they thought he was the one who gave the order to kill a Saudi reporter who was a pain and a thorn in the side of the royal family. He got brutally murdered in Istanbul inside the Saudi embassy. All of that's washed away. And when a reporter brought that up the other day at the meeting between, you know, the summit between President Trump and the Crown Prince, well, you had the president jump in to shut the reporter down and say that's absolutely not true. There's nothing to it. If you're the Crown Prince, I know the Saudis this much. They're very sensitive to that issue. There's nothing better than having the president of the United States sort of jump in on top of a reporter and shut it down. So for the Saudis and for the Crown Prince, he's re-entered and emerged on the world stage and on the U.S. stage as a major actor who has a really good relationship. It couldn't be any better for him. And so it's a win-win.
General Pazner, since you're here and you are the author of the definitive book on the Kennedy assassination, Case Closed, let me ask you about the news this week about Thomas Crooks and what we've learned here about the FBI and how they were less than forthcoming, I'll say it that way, with his social media history and the fact that we were led to believe that he was a ghost. Turns out, not so much of a ghost. He may have become a ghost, but he wasn't always a ghost. And, you know, we still can't get the answers that we need. You got Senator Ron Johnson demanding subpoenas about to the Trump Justice Department, by the way, about this, and the FBI and the Secret Service continue the obfuscation. I mean, what the hell's going on here?
I have a piece coming out tomorrow on Skeptic magazine about this very issue, the sort of the crooked trail of crooks. It is remarkable to me. Think about this. In the Kennedy assassination, a year after the assassination, the Warren Report, which a lot of people didn't have faith in, but at least it gave, Rich, the most detailed accounting of the assassin in the years beforehand, sometimes minute by minute. They put together Oswald's entire existence. They made it available to the public. Here, a year after the attempted assassination of Donald Trump and Butler, we have not only very little information about crooks, but we get information time and time again. We shouldn't be getting it from podcasters. We shouldn't be getting it from influencers. We shouldn't be finding out about it We should be hearing about it from the FBI, from Kash Patel and from Don Bongino and others should be making this material available about the online presence that Crooks had, where he was, what he had, so that we can fill it in and start to create this picture of this wannabe assassin. There are plenty of questions out there, and the longer the government waits, especially the Trump administration, it just creates doubts and feeds conspiracy theories about this from the get-go.
It really does. And I think it was Miranda Devine who essentially put that in her New York Post piece about how, of course, you're going to feed conspiracies on both sides of the aisle, by the way, because you've got Democrats out there who say some of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard, that, you know, Trump had a blood packet behind his ear and this whole thing was staged. And I mean, really stupid stuff. But in the absence of information, it's human nature to try to connect the dots.
That's absolutely true, although I will say that if the theories on the left that it's a fake assassination, that there was some packet of blood or something like that, I must tell you that those are, it's hard to say, the most asinine.
Oh, it's beyond. It's like something a child would come up with, right? It's so freaking stupid and ridiculous. And yeah, no way am I condoning those conspiracy theories in any way, shape or form. But it allows people to turn around and go, oh, you see, he was behind the whole thing. It's why he's not releasing the information, because he staged it. I mean, it's so asinine and ridiculous to think you could stage an assassination attempt on yourself. But right?
Yeah, no. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I love the fact that you're able to get somebody who's able to come only half an inch away from killing you, right?
Like centimeters away if you had turned the wrong way. But, that's how good he was. That's how good this was staged, you know. Give me a break.
But what is something, and I would hope Kash Patel, look at Kash Patel and Don Bongino understand this. Bongino used to be on the other side of this, meaning that he had his own show, his own podcast. He would be criticizing mm-hmm. the government for withholding material. So he's attuned to this. And Kash Patel used to talk about this as well, how the government should not be withholding information. So, you know, the suspected assassin, the one who tried to kill Donald Trump, he's dead. We have a lot of questions around it. The American people have questions about it. And you've got to make that available, because otherwise, investigators, real reporters, others, we can't pursue it if we don't have the information.
November 22nd, 1963. So we're coming up on the what anniversary is this now?
Yeah, I think the 62nd, 62 years afterwards, the assassination of JFK. We've gotten some new files from the Soviet Union. The Russians gave some KGB files to the Oversight Committee and Representative Luna recently. Didn't tell us much, not surprising, because as you can expect, that when the Soviet Union fell in the early 90s, the Russians essentially sold whatever was valuable, all the Oswald documents, to the highest bidder. That turned out to be Norman Mailer. He wrote a book called Oswald's Tale, which didn't tell you that much new, but still, that's where all the good material went. So what the Russians have grounded up now for the 62nd anniversary is a nice gesture of cooperation to the U.S. government, but doesn't tell us anything more about who killed Kennedy or about Oswald himself.
I mean, for a lot of people who are hoping that the recent tranche of documents that would be released would tell us something, we really haven't gotten much new, right? I mean, not in the sense of looking at there might have been other people involved, but just in terms of any reason why all this stuff was kept secret for so long. I mean, do you have an answer for that now that it's come to light?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a good answer. The answer is, when you go through these documents, I've been through the 80,000 pages and, you know, bleary-eyed and up too many nights taking a look at it, and you see the pattern emerge, which is they redacted, meaning primarily CIA, most of these were CIA documents, they redacted the names of every foreign intelligence agency that helped the U.S. on a mission that was 50 or 60 years old. They redacted the names of assets. They redacted the names of information about when somebody was transferred from Romanian intelligence and moved over to British intelligence. They redacted information about plots that they had cooked up at the CIA that had nothing at all to do with the Kennedy assassination, but were embarrassments and meddling in other governments. So these materials had less to do with the murder of the president and more to do with what the CIA viewed as protecting assets and means. It was preposterous, Rich, that this type of material was held back for 60 years, because there wasn't an instance in there in which I went through in which I could say to you, wow, That's some big story. We never knew about that. Thank goodness they didn't disclose that guy's name, because he would have been killed a long time ago. This is truly the evidence of the bureaucracy overclassifying material, and then over a generation, literally a new group of people coming into power at the CIA who know nothing about what the original documents were about, and they just keep that buzzard on, which says, don't release them, don't release them, don't release them until we're forced to. It was disgraceful.
Well, if anybody wants to read the book, of course, it is called Case Closed by Gerald Posner, my guest right now. Before I let you go, is there going to be a debate between you and Roger Stone? I know you guys always kind of go after each other on social media a little bit. It's fun to watch. You think you'll have that debate?
You know, I had a debate with Roger before the pandemic at Some Books in Miami Beach.
We need the sequel.
We need a sequel, because I will tell you, no one's ever done a promotion as good for that event as Roger did. He took a copy of my book. I think he put lighter fluid on it and then lit it on fire and said, this is absolutely garbage. You know, you should burn this book. But short of burning the book, show up at the debate where you watch me demolish Posner. He'll be crying uncle in no time at all and admitting that it was LBJ who killed Kennedy. Now, you have to admit, he's a superb showman. He's great. I like him. He just happens to be completely wrong on the assassination. But he is, in the end, and you'll appreciate this, remember, he was an operative for Nixon, and he really understands politics. And for me, he's still doing the work for Richard Nixon, meaning that he's bearing the memory of LBJ as not only one of the worst presidents, but the president who took power by killing his predecessor. So Nixon would still clap Roger on the back and say, you know what, Roger, that is really good dirty tricks.
I mean, it doesn't get more dedication than that, other than having a tattoo on your back of the guy's name. So
that is absolutely
true.
He is fully committed.
Well, I think another debate between you guys, especially in the age of social media, where he could light that book on fire, and you know there'd be like a million comments. That would be a lot of fun. So hopefully we can get that going again. But yeah, I wish we had more time. I'd love to get into the stuff that's going on in London with you, but we'll have to save that for another time. But I appreciate you as always, Gerald Posner. I encourage everybody to follow your work at Gerald Posner and GeraldPosner.com, and to read all your books. I mean, you're the best. So. Appreciate it, buddy.
Rich, thanks very much. Great to be with you.
Great.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
The big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, Veneria Dental. Go see him today for your perfect smile, because as the years come to an end, you may have dental benefits that are on the table. Don't leave them on the table. Go see Dr. Mike today and get that beautiful smile you deserve. We got Penn State basketball tonight, so we're getting out of here at 6 o'clock, so we got to leave now. But the point is this. I did do Jimmy Failla's show earlier. I don't know if you can listen or not, but if you can, please try to do so, because that was a lot of fun, too. And in the meantime, thank you for listening to this show. We'll see you tomorrow. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy,
celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.